Welcome back to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports, AM 1550 KDCO, FM 94.1, and FM 96.9 in Boulder. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Mark Knutson, former CSU pitcher, former Major League pitcher, and I am Joel Cantalamessa of RamNation.com. I'm your host, and we're excited to bring on the fine writer, longtime sports reporter for the Loveland Reporter Herald, Mike Brohard, here to talk about CSU. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. Sounds like you have a lot of fun there wherever you're at on a Friday night. But speaking of nights, tomorrow night, CSU and Utah State, a night game for homecoming, maybe a little bit different. I don't know how many homecoming games are at night, but nonetheless, it's a huge game for a lot of reasons for CSU. And what's the mood on campus?
You broke up there a little bit. You did, yeah, the mood is pretty good with the team. They're very confident right now with this game going in. They're confident with the game plan. There's no lingering effect from getting shut out by Utah State last year. It's a confident offense, and I think a lot of that has to do with what Rashard Higgins has had to do this year. They're also feeling really good about the way they're playing defense. They've given up some yards, given up some points at times, but at key moments that defense has risen up and stopped teams when they've had to.
You know, you wrote an article a couple of days ago, Mike, about how CSU has kind of learned from last year's loss at Utah State and kind of rebounded. But you also kind of pointed out it doesn't necessarily matter much what happened last year because these teams are so much different. What differences do you see between the two teams in 2014? What can you tell us about the matchup in general?
Well, I know they had Rashard Higgins on the field last year, but he's a different player this year. And that threat of the vertical passing game has opened up a lot of things and has made them even more effective with the guys in the slot. And Xavier Williams, Charles Lovett, Joe Hanslett. It opens up some running lanes, too, for the back. The other key thing I think when you look at it in Utah State's defense, yeah, they're really stout against the run still, just like they were last year. And of course, you know, Capri Bibbs didn't go anywhere last year on turf toe. But they're missing Kyler Fackrell, who's a very good, very sound defender, great playmaker for them, and I think you've seen them give up some things in the passing game this year. The one thing they've countered that with is they're tied for second in the nation in creating takeaways. Got 11 interceptions, and they've created, I think it's 18 turnovers this season.
Sounds to 19. Me like Stephen Walker might play a role in this one too. He was a big factor in the Nevada game.
Yeah, Stephen Walker, I think they're very pleasantly surprised with what they've got there with him. He was an interesting kid. When I talked to him, he always played offensive line in high school. Had never been a kid that had caught the ball. He goes out, he catches very few passes at Butler Community College, mostly a blocking tight end, and now they're finding that he's very adept at not only catching the ball, but creating yards after the catch. And that's been an added bonus for the offense.
We're here with Mike Brohard of the Loveland Reporter Herald. Mike, what's the how's the overall health of the team? I know there's just a few guys but they're key guys. But what's the latest status on Gerald's, and do you think he'll play? What's the official word there?
Well, Gerald's is, from when we checked, he's still questionable. He did run. We saw him run a little bit in practice. I wouldn't say he was fluid, but you know they'll give him a shot. Last update I heard was it'll probably be a game time decision, and it'll really be up to Treyas. If he thinks he's good to go. I think he'd use some help. Jason's back. Jason Oden's back. It was a little stiff last week. That's why they didn't use him late. He's looked better this week. He's feeling better this week. But they've also picked up the pace with Deron Thompson and what he can do. Mainly, it wasn't so much. They're not worried about his pass protection or anything like that. It's mostly with that ankle injury he had in fall camp. Him getting that timing with the offensive line, getting steps there, you know, that patience through the hole, explosive through.
Hey, Mike, everybody was, speaking of injuries, kind of writing off Utah State after Chucky Keaton went down for the second consecutive season. But Darryl Gerritsen's come in and done a nice job, and there are actually things he can maybe do a little better than Chucky Keaton. So their offense really hasn't slipped at all with their backup quarterback in.
Well, no, I think the big key is this, and also in Utah State's offense. If you look at Hunter Sharp, he gave them that perimeter threat. He's a deep guy, too. He's had a very good year. Plus, I also think you're seeing a Darryl Gerritsen that's not just being thrust into the lineup, who's used to that role now. He's used to being the starting quarterback. What preparation goes into it? He's an athletic kid. And I think you're seeing that come out a little bit more as he becomes more and more comfortable with the offense and what they can do with him, the quarterback.
Mike Brohard is our guest from the Loveland Reporter Herald. Hey, Mike, it sounds like we're going to have a close to capacity crowd tomorrow. And I know when you and I talked yesterday or a couple days ago that the student ticket pickup was a little bit slow, but a tweet earlier today indicated there's really only 500 tickets, student tickets remaining. So it sounds like it's picking up some steam, and it's really been a year since CSU has had this kind of crowd at Hughes Stadium. And what's the latest that you've heard on ticket sales, and what are you expecting?
Well, I think they're expecting a crowd of 30,000, 30,000 plus, which is what this game deserves, really what this program deserves with the way they're going right now. That's an encouraging sign. They went out, they took tickets out to the campus. They were encouraging students to pick them up there. They had, with that, you know, you drew some more interest in the game, the student section, and they went in and they hit the Moby ticket office and they started gathering up some more tickets.
I kind of like that effort that you're seeing out of CSU lately with, you know, you have Coach McElwain visiting classes. I don't know if it's on a weekly basis or whatever, but just having that connection with him, talking to students and kind of getting people engaged, and the fact that there are out hand. You shouldn't have to go out and hand out tickets when they're already free anyway, and all you got to do is show your student ID to pick up tickets. But, you know, the fact that they're out there really trying to work this hard and make sure that the game has the crowd that it deserves, it's kind of nice. Do you know anything? Is McElwain plan on doing these kind of visitations to classes over the long haul of this year?
Oh, he did it all last year. He was going on campus to have lunch at certain spots, meet with students. They tweeted out where he's going to be, what time he's going to be there, come up and say hi. I mean, the fan base should be very happy with what they've gotten Jim McElwain. One, because what he's done from an operations standpoint is he's gotten a very disciplined approach, not just on the field, but off the field. What happens in the football offices, what they're doing in recruiting, how they're, you know, treating and interacting with people. And two, he really does go out and promote his program around the state, around the campus. He's not just sitting back and saying, my job is to be the football coach and put out a good team. He's also going out there and he's meeting with the people. He's really ingrained himself with the campus community at CSU.
Hey, Mike, I went out on a really long, narrow limb today on MileHighSports.com and wrote that if things go really, really right, there's a shot at a New Year's Day bowl there. I mean, okay, it's halfway through the season. We've already seen some really wacky stuff happen in college football in the first half. Probably more of the same coming down the pike the second half. But just, it's nice to be able to say at this point in season, if four or five things go right, CSU could be playing on New Year's Day. That's kind of remarkable.
Yeah, you can't stop with if. You've got to go if.
Right.
I mean, really, you look at it the other way. Colorado State could win this game tomorrow, which I think they will. They can go 11-1 and still not play in the conference championship.
Yeah, that's true,
because
too.
Because of that loss to Boise State. There's a lot of things that have to play out. Yeah, there's those factors that are there in college football. It is strange. And even though a Marshall or an East Carolina looks like the cream of the crop in the league, things pop up when teams are familiar with each other. Did anybody expect Air Force to beat Boise State?
No. I don't think Air Force expected that.
So you can look at it. But, yeah, you look at Boise State's schedule. Their toughest games are going to be played at home.
Right.
And the thing is, if Colorado State beats Utah State, it could come down to that Utah State-Boise State game, the final weekend of the year. Mm-hmm. And Boise has it at home. And if Boise has something to play for and Utah State doesn't, you wonder what happened.
What are the other bowl scenarios that are likely for CSU, obviously? I mean, the Mountain West hopes to get a team in there. Boise with two losses and maybe, you know, they still got to play BYU in the non-conference. They don't really look like a candidate to play on New Year's Day. And neither does Utah State, having that unbelievable loss to Arkansas State. So CSU is really the only option for the Mountain West at this point, record-wise. So, but if that doesn't happen, what are the other bowl scenarios that you see playing out? Is this looking like another trip to the New Mexico Bowl?
I don't think so. I think it's actually entirely possible that even, let's say CSU goes 11-1. They don't make the championship game in the conference. If the team out of the mountain wins it, let's say it would be Boise in that scenario. Boise would go to the Las Vegas Bowl. There's nothing that says the Poinsettia Bowl in San Diego could not go. We would rather have an 11-1 CSU team over a Nevada or a Fresno that Boise State has beaten in the championship game that has the 500 record or right around there. There's no pecking order. There's nothing that says 1, 2, 3, 4 outside of the Las Vegas Bowl gets the champion. So after that, I mean, you know, the Placentia Bowl did say, we want the best team you've got available, and that is Colorado State.
And the other bowl tie-ins are what?
You've got the Hawaii Bowl. You've got the Idaho Potato Bowl. You've got the New Orleans Bowl. And then you've got the Armed Forces Bowl.
So some nice destinations there. It doesn't have to necessarily be a return trip to Albuquerque. I mean, you kind of like last year's Albuquerque memory to be your last Albuquerque memory. It was so awesome. But it'd be great to go to Hawaii or New Orleans or something like that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, the one thing that's different about the bowl affiliations this year is the only really marquee matchup you get in any of those bowls is the Las Vegas Bowl. You get a Pac-12 team.
Right.
Everybody else, you're going to be playing somebody out of either Navy, somebody out of the MAC, or somebody out of the Sun Bowl.
Right.
Mike Brohard is our guest. Mike, this is the best start the CSU has had in 14 years. And, you know, you've been with the Reporter-Herald since, what, 1992, early 1990s. So you've seen this team up, this program up close, dating back to Sonny Lubick's glory days. From what you've seen so far, how does this team, you know, is this team for real? And how does it compare to some of the past really good teams in recent CSU history?
Well, I think they're running a different offense. I think they're better offensively overall. Defensively, I think they still fall behind some of those really good CSU defensive teams, but they are a more consistent unit this year. But I think the one thing overall is you look at the depth this team has across the board, and that's what you see paying off when you do have injuries. When you lose a Jake Bennett, you know, a walk-on like Kevin O'Brien fills in well. You look at the fact that Sam Carlson actually entered fall camp as your third right tackle, and he started and played well. That's the big difference. I don't know that some of the teams in the past could have gone that far down the depth chart and kept the pace that they're keeping.
Yeah, we were all fairly impressed with the way they responded when Sambrolio went out against Colorado to lose your best guy and then really play great offensive line football the rest of that game. It was a testament to the depth you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, Mike, it's prediction time. So we're, you know, at the end of the show, we'll give our predictions. We'd like to get to your opinion on what will happen tomorrow night at Hugh Stadium.
Well, I think CSU, I think my prediction is they win a close game. I think I predicted 27-23, just to be weird. But I think it'll be a close game, but CSU will prevail on this one.
Well, that's, I mean, it's going to be hard fought. No way around that. You get a big edge from the crowd, homecoming and all that, so maybe that they can parlay that into what would be a really, really big win.
Yeah, it would be. It would be an outstanding win. It would be a big win for this program. Very important because you still look at the fact they need that important conference win. They haven't gotten it against the Boise yet. This is their last chance to get a very important conference win in their division. This represents it, and I think they get it.
I agree. Hey, Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, buddy.
Hey, take care, guys.
All right, we're at the end of our segment here. Before we go to break, we're going to thank a couple more sponsors, including Cindy Showerman of Beamer Insurance Agency, as well as Ellis Penn and O'Connor Tax Consultants. That's Michael O'Connor, big-time Ram fan. Thank you so much for your support in supporting Ram Nation Radio. When we come back, it's time to ring the bell with former Ram standout turned car business executive Kyle Bell. Stay tuned with us. This is Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports.